So let's be real, food and drink marketing is full of rubbish, and we are so excited to be here to talk about what actually makes brands grow and how they scale and how they scale online. We are KW Marketing, we're a food and drink digital marketing agency, and we help brands scale online. So we set up Fueling Foodies because we want to sit with the founders, the brands, people who are actually doing it, and we want to share what they're doing in this space. So we're here to shut down all the stories about strategies that work, strategies that don't work. We know what works. We sit in this space and we're really bloody good at it as well. What do you reckon?
100%. I feel like it's been a long time coming, us doing this. So good job, we're here.
Yeah. And also, I think to say is how much we love the fact that we work in food and drink because of the samples.
Let's just start with the freebies.
The food. I mean.
Name a better industry.
And I was just going to say, what's your favourite though?
My favourite food?
Of a brand that we work with.
Cheese. Don't even need to ask me twice.
I actually might go popcorn.
Oh,
I'm a sucker for the salted caramel.
Oh, I'm going to go cheese. I'm going cheese.
It's just the best.
I just love cheese because my freezer is now full of it.
Literally, my fridge is full. And also, it's just the best. It's such good cheese.
I know, same. So let's go into a little bit about, like, why should people listen to us? Why are we experts in food and drink? Why are we going into being the number one food and drink digital marketing agency? Which we are well on our way.
We already are.
ChatGPT says we are this morning. Yeah.
And I mean, right? We all know if ChatGPT says it, it's true.
Love it.
Never tells a lie.
Yeah, I know. But Phoebes, do you want to just talk a little bit about, like, what do you do on a day-to-day basis? Why do we know our stuff, right? I nearly swore then, really sorry. But why do we know our stuff?
What do I do? All things. Well, I just do everything, like a bit of everything. Obviously, prioritize on the social side, but will help anywhere. Very graphics orientated. So that is where my skill set lies. So
creative queen, right?
Anything
there.
From editing up ads or email headers or creating social assets is kind of my bag. Yeah.
What's your actual job, bro?
Just remember that your boss is listening.
Tell the world.
I'm a digital marketing executive.
Ooh. Oh, love it.
Newly
a digital marketing executive.
Love it.
Yeah, love it.
Sounds so big and punchy. I love it. I'm not an assistant anymore.
So much more. Laws, what about you? Because I think you might have a shiny new job title too.
I'll start with mine. I won't forget my job though. So I am a senior account manager. So basically just means I head up all things clients. I am the face of KW for clients, basically. So as soon as they're onboarded, I'm who they see and who they deal with daily.
Unfortunately.
Daily, weekly, they are stuck with me. But no, I love it. I love getting to chat to them, build real relationships with the client. So always nice and fun. So yeah, and I see up anything client side, but my baby is social media.
Oh, don't we know it as well? Don't we know she loves social?
It is. It really is.
So maybe I should go into how much I love email.
Oh, you never mention it, so maybe you should.
I think I should. So I am the founder of KW Marketing, and I set it up because I firstly love working with local brands. I love going and seeing them. Like, I love that when you hear the story of why they set their product up and why now. And, you know, there's always a really good story behind the product. But I think it's really important that every brand has that moment to share their product and show the world. And that's why we're there to help them, right? Is to get more eyeballs on it and to just tell the world about their products. I mean, granted, 9 times out of 10, they have the great product. I'm not saying 10 out of 10 because not everybody gets the product right. But 9 times out of 10, the product is right. So that's then where we come in. And it works really well because Phoebes heads up the creatives. Laura obviously heads up that strategy piece and that client side. And my specialism and passion.
And everyone knows.
She never mentions it.
Is email, because it is still one of the number one biggest revenue drivers, especially if you're in the online space. I think it's so underutilized if you're a small brand. I met a small brand this week and I said to them, how many people have you got in your database? And they were like, not really sure, don't have a database. I was like, no. So I think it's just, you know, one of my massive passions is to just get out there and tell people that actually email is super, super powerful when it's used properly. Because again, I see people spending hours creating emails and it doesn't need to take that long. So we are here to talk about the fluff, the crap, the, you know, all of those sort of things that are out in the digital world that are about growing. And we know what works. Like, we're really confident about it as well. We know how to scale a brand online. We've done it time and time again. You girls know exactly how to grow socials. I absolutely don't. I don't specialize in socials. But I think, let's dive into it. Because I think email, there's Meta to dive into about ad costs. Like, I speak to brands all the time about, I've done ads before, I've spent money and it's not worked. Why should I turn them on? I think we should talk about that because I think that's really interesting. And then I think there's other things that will come into it. So, yeah.
Let's go.
Cracking.
So, bold statement. What is broken in food marketing? Because I have loads.
Where do we start?
Bold. I know, it is statement. Bold, isn't it? But where should we start? I'm gonna call out the first one.
Oh, she's got an idea.
This really annoys me as well. Influencer marketing. Ooh. Now, Laura, I know you're a slight influencer, so this is
That makes me die.
But influencer marketing, does it work in food and drink marketing?
I think it does.
I think I've got the best of both worlds.
I'm going to step outside and come back in when you're finished.
Influencer marketing in general is kind of dying because of people wanting real now. Like, so I feel like it's kind of on the way out.
I'd argue that it's not on the way out. I don't think there'll ever be no influencer marketing because it's taken over traditional advertising. Like, brands now would rather pay an influencer a couple of grand to go on a PR trip than they would hire a model to do it because people now relate to an influencer a lot more.
For example, they've started from
exactly
nothing,
they're real. They have real lives. Like, one of my best friends has got hundreds of thousands of followers and is going on a holiday to some luxury place next week. Honestly, so jealous. But that's real because actually, I'm like, well, she's a real person. Like, she has real struggles like the rest of us. She's not been brought up by millions of pounds surrounding her. And I think
on the flip side,
yeah,
you could say from a customer's perspective, not a brand's perspective, a user's perspective, i.e. I might buy the product wherever she's going, stay in the hotel, that it isn't real.
100%. And I think that has been really, really key in influencer marketing over the past year or so, that brands have failed epically. I know there's been some really big, a lot of cosmetic brands, I will say, more than food and drink.
Yeah.
Cosmetic brands have taken massive influencers on trips that haven't actually converted because they've not really thought about their customer.
Yeah.
And they've spent hundreds of thousands.
I keep seeing loads of stuff on TikTok at the moment of people just not understanding why so many brands are taking influencers out on these like extravagant trips because it doesn't mean anything to people.
And I think that's
Like some brands are even actually now sending out their audience.
Yeah.
Like they're doing it for them instead, which I think hits better, but.
And for anybody that doesn't know, Phoebe is our TikTok queen. She is in Gen Z. She lives and breathes TikTok. So she is going to come in with TikTok probably a lot.
When she says she's read something, she means she's seen it on TikTok.
Before anybody else.
Love that.
Do I watch the news?
In 30-second clips on my phone. But no, influencer marketing in food and drink, especially, it's a really hard one because who wouldn't want free food turning up to their door?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, what do you want the influencer to do with the food? I think if they're just like a lifestyle influencer and you're sending them, I don't know, a box of drinks, for example. So you've got a juice brand and you're sending a lifestyle influencer. What content are you expecting them to deliver? Are you expecting hard deliverables on, okay, so here's my juice in my fridge, this is what I have every morning, and it's real, kind of that vibe? Yes. But also then there's the real space of like cooking influencers.
Yeah,
and
food stylists.
Massive
and stuff
on TikTok at the minute. Like, absolutely huge. Think Poppy Cooks.
Yeah.
Board of Lunch.
Yeah.
Massive. And they started off as just normal food influencers.
Yeah. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think as well, food styling is good because that's where people are taking the products, they are using them in a recipe, and I think that does work really well if they've got weight.
Exactly.
Like an influencer.
So basically what we've come to is influencer marketing works if it's done right.
You have to be really careful with who you pick.
If you're savvy,
I'm just going straight in there. Really targeted.
She's still not convinced.
I'm still not convinced because if you are a small to medium-sized business, marketing budget and spend is really, really tight, right? And you're trying to scale and you're trying to grow. Mm-hmm. Is influencer marketing a platform to use? Is it an activity to do?
Yes, without a doubt, because you have the product. If you do a gifted campaign, send out a box of a nice hamper with a personalized message. I don't know how many times I have to say this to brands, making your influencer gifting personalized and not just another parcel sent out.
So are you talking about micro influencers though now?
Any.
Because anyone, budget to spend with a marketing budget, small to medium sized businesses aren't necessarily going to have thousands to pay for an influencer, right?
But I think that's where you come down to gifting. Because you're not actually requiring them to
There's no obligation to post. And that's really, really, really important that brands know that if they're gifting something, there is no obligation to share it. That it comes under a contract when you pay the influencer and there is legally binding agreements to deliver content. But doing gifting in that personalized way.
I think that's almost like the best way to start.
It's the starting the relationship with a brand. I know from experience, when I've received PR packages, I'm so excited by it because it's like, oh, they've thought of me. And if there's a handwritten note in that PR package, oh my God, I absolutely love it because they have written, they've put my name on it. And I'm like, oh, they've thought of me. And there's no obligation to post it. But because it's personalized and they've actually reached out and gone, we'd love to send you this. I'm more obligated to share. See,
I'm still not convinced.
It is interesting though, because I can't say out of the amount of influencer stuff that I see that I buy from it. It makes me more aware of the brands, which is kind of
awareness.
That's what I think it's getting at rather than direct sales.
Yeah.
But that's where social media comes in, brand awareness.
So, I mean, do we go into social next? What about social media?
What a segue.
I know, what a segue.
What a big topic.
Because, again, I talk to brands, founders, owners, marketers, non-marketers, and the first thing that people always say to me is, Kate, can you come and help us manage our socials? And I'm like, yeah. And then I like question myself and I try really hard to give that explanation piece because that's where relationships fall down. And that's where I think the transparency piece, and especially in our agency, is really important. It's being transparent with your clients and with your customers about the power of social and what social is going to do. And I think that's where sometimes it's mixed, sometimes it gets lost, and I try and instill that really, really well when I'm talking to brands and clients, because social is not directly going to increase your revenue. It is not directly going to increase your bottom line. We can't prove it. The data won't tell us that. I love data, by the way. So it becomes really difficult when you're a small to medium sized business to
understand like what it actually is for.
Yeah, and also to quantify the spend.
Yeah.
100%. Social takes so much time. You guys know more than I know, 100%. Right? So much time to create the content. And I think it's just really important that brands are aware, brand awareness, that they're doing it with other activities as well.
Yeah.
So social has changed so much along social has changed so much across the past like 3, 4, 5, 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. And is still changing by the day. The algorithms move
by the second.
You are at the forefront of it. You do it for our clients, you do it for our food and drink brands. So I want to know, is organic social media worth my time if I'm a food and drink business? With the caveat of I have 2,000 to 5,000 followers.
Yes.
So important.
Yes.
And to say the followers don't matter. Your numbers don't matter. I feel like clients come to us all the time aiming for a number, but that number actually does not mean anything.
Especially on TikTok. I'm stealing your channel.
No, 100%.
But TikTok, I've spoke to so many clients about this because they come to us and they say to you, first of all, like, I want my TikTok following to be X amount. Sounds great.
But what
great,
does that mean?
But what is that going to get you? What do you want from growing your TikTok? Because unless you're starting TikTok Shop, which is a whole nother kettle of fish over
there. Oh my God, it is.
But unless you're doing that, what is the followers going to get you? Are you actually going to be better by having, you know, I hate it. I hate someone to come into us and say, I want a viral video, because also, what is that going to get you?
The thing is, I think the beauty in the viral video, or like,
I mean, if we went viral, right, I would love that. Can you make us go viral? That'd be great.
If someone says, can you make me go viral?
You can't ask, because it's something that is so random. Like, you cannot
I could not tell you how someone goes viral. And I don't think people who go viral can tell you how
they
went viral.
And I don't feel like it's bad for us saying that. It's more so that you, like, just have to trust the algorithm and trust the app.
Trust your
content. Because we know what we're doing in terms of what we're posting is right for the platform.
I think that's the thing.
Who receives it that we can't control.
And I actually saw a really interesting thing about this the other day. I know it's a slight caveat, but it is also about organic reach, that people often will say, oh, I'm stuck in the 200 view TikTok jail. It's not a thing. There is no such thing as a jail. Your videos might only be getting 200 views consistently, and you might be thinking, what the hell? Why am I being punished? Actually, when you put your video out, it goes to an audience of 200, 300 people. If they don't receive it well, that's as far as your video will go.
Yeah.
So actually, you're not, you kind of are in a jail, but you're not. It's not TikTok punishing you. Your content isn't good enough. Your audience don't like your content.
Note self, need to do better on content.
I feel like we've noticed with clients, though, now that we've kind of experienced and experimented it more, like with it more ourselves, like we've gone from kind of posting, you know, what we thought the brand wanted to post, and then it wasn't working. We stepped away and we were like, this isn't working for the platform.
The key for that is, though, and like I said at the beginning, it's an engagement piece with them. It's a learning, because the clients
and
come
it comes
in,
down to trust at the end of the day.
Yeah,
they trust that we know what we're doing with it.
Yeah, and they go, I need social help. We then do their ideas, their thoughts, da da da, and then they realize they trust us, and actually, shit, we know what we're talking about. And then we roll with it. And I think that's when the magic happens.
And that's when
we
get excited about doing it as well. Because when we have freedom, it's so much fun. And we enjoy making random TikToks.
Like some things we can't explain.
I know.
A tea alarm going off. I mean, come on. But it makes sense because it's fun. It's quick. And I think that's where organic content has that luxury that it used to be. Oh, does my Instagram look aesthetic? Is every post primed and proper and perfect?
I think now
people don't want perfect.
It's more about personality, which I think is what we really try and push for everyone that we work with client-wise.
Yeah.
I think if you go back a few years ago, none of our clients would have been holding up their products, joking around, finding popcorn down the side of a sofa.
So, but, bold question.
Yeah.
Has organic reach gone
from
social media?
It's there. You just need to find your sweet spot.
And your audience, right?
And your audience.
The right
audience. You need to find your audience. They're different on every platform. Don't think just because, you know, you're sold in, I don't know,
Whole Foods,
for example, that your audience on TikTok is going to be that audience. They're
and
different.
And I also think that comes down to like the content that you're then putting out. You need to know your audience and know what then they want, because
exactly.
It's also not going to be the same across everything.
But then that ties in very well that because I will down the hill that I was always like, social media till I die. And then worked with Kate for probably about 3 months and was like, shit, email's actually linked really,
really
powerful. And I hate that I'll be on calls with clients and I'll be like, I know you're saying social media is what you want, but I actually think email marketing's what you want. Which
and
probably
that is
then
when I've done my job.
Ties into Kate's absolute favourite subject.
It's always the fight over, oh, new client, what do they want?
Yeah, it's like, are they email or are they social? If they're both, we're like, yes.
I know. And I think it's really important because aside from how much I love it, I think it's just really key that when you're building that brand awareness, you're spending all that time on that content, you're doing crazy TikTok trends. Phoebe, I'm looking at you like...
Dancing on a sofa, no worries.
Christmas pajamas.
That were mine, no shame.
Anything for the content, right?
And I don't actually know how I missed that video until after Christmas into January. And then I was like, how did I even miss
that? Was in
that
your
video?
House. That's the best bit. She was wearing my pajamas in your house.
Where was I?
Jumping on your sofa.
Where was I at that point?
The idea of someone jumping on Kate's sofa is probably giving Kate heart palpitations right now.
Nobody, not even my 7-year-old child, is allowed to jump on my sofa. But anything for content.
I was going to say there's no evidence, but there is evidence.
Anyway, email marketing. I suppose we should let Kate have her time. We've done our social bit. We should probably hand the baton over.
Right. So why is email so important for food? It's really, really easy. If you sell a product online, if you are a B2B business, whatever type of business you are, email has its place. You think about your funnel, right? And again, talk about this all the time with clients, talk about it when I go and do workshops with them. Think of the digital marketing funnel literally in a triangular shape. At the top, you've got your brand awareness. That's your social media. That's you guys creating that amazing content. You spend so much time on it. You might then put some ads on as well to get volume into the top of that funnel. Mm-hmm. Then when the funnel goes down, which is really important to think about when you think about your marketing mix, is it gets smaller. It gets, you know, it gets really tight towards the bottom. And that's when the power of email really, really works. And it's giving me goosebumps talking about it because it's so
she
good.
She just loves it.
I love it. Because you spend budget at the top, you spend ad budget, you get a lovely social media agency like us to help you with your content.
Hang on, we're not a social media agency.
We're a digital marketing agency, by the way.
UK's number one.
Yeah.
We love it.
But then when you get to email, it's about how do you convert those people? Like, we know, and it is fact in the industry, that it's easier to convert an existing customer than it is to get a new customer in the door.
100%.
So if you have a customer, Laura has bought cheese already once.
Loves it.
Laura's more likely to buy cheese again because she's become a brand advocate. So that then becomes so powerful because if I speak to Laura on a regular basis, she's going to keep coming back into my brand, opening my emails, going back to my socials, really important brand awareness. And then it goes full circle. So email is all about retaining your customers and getting them coming back for more. And the number one thing that we're seeing, especially in 2025, is personalization. If you are blanket sending to your customers.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like what I open in my inbox. My inbox is full of, you know, a lot of rubbish.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when there is things that kind of catch your eye or it is a bit more directed, you do.
You know,
there's
what's
a curiosity, even if I have no interest
honestly
in the brand anymore, or like if it's something that I haven't noticed.
And I think
it's
when you're invested in the brand, like this is something else that I was saying this week to one of our clients. In my inbox, I must get like 60 emails a day, right? And I still unsubscribe from the ones that I think, oh, I wish you weren't in there.
Because you realize it is just fluff.
Because it is just fluff, right? But when there's brands that I love and I'm so immersed into, and like, oh my God, their emails land in my inbox, I'm like, I need to open them. And I feel part of that journey because they know if it's like my birthday. They know if
I love a cheeky discount.
Yeah, love a discount.
Discount ones will always get me to open them.
Yeah.
Or it's like, psst, and I'm like, yeah.
Honestly, they make me feel like I'm in a secret and I'm like, hello.
I know. And I think it's, again, really important to note if you're discounting and you are a food and drink brand or an e-commerce brand, that when you discount, you don't just constantly discount.
100%.
Yeah. You don't want it to feel
profits.
Cheap.
You know what my favourite discounted one was? I got a Velvetizer for my birthday.
Oh, thanks. I bought you that.
Thanks, Kate. And I obviously signed up to everything. And I was about to order some of the chocolates online, some of the hot chocolate. And I was like, I added it to my basket. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll buy it in store because I'm going into Exeter, blah, blah, blah. And a couple of days later, I got, oh, you missed this. You didn't buy these. And then I got 10% off.
Oh, I like that.
And you know what? I didn't even though I knew I was going to the shop.
I'm cheeky sometimes.
You do it on purpose to do that.
Because people do that now.
It's
people
a
do
thing.
That now.
You play the game.
Yeah,
you get it. Not everyone does it, obviously.
No. She's there hustling every brand.
But if you want a little cheeky 10% off, sometimes if you like, and to be fair,
always purchases.
I'm so like,
I'm shocked.
I can't concentrate on things. And I get very sidetracked. So often if I am online shopping, it goes in the basket and doesn't go anywhere because I've got sidetracked doing something else.
I will add everything to my basket on
every website.
And then
you get an abandoned cart reminder, a browser.
But that's
what
I need.
Shame.
That's not that email I need to go,
because then you go back.
I did want to buy
because my brain is so like,
so that's how
everywhere.
It works. It gets me.
See, I have to just do it.
That abandoned cart email gets me.
But here's the importance of it, right?
I do find myself typing in welcome 10 into the discount box every time I'm shopping.
Spoiler, everyone, don't use welcome 10 as your discount code. Otherwise, Kate will get it. Kate will use welcome 10 and Phoebe will use an abandoned cart email. Yeah. Treats them, honestly.
But serious talk, right? Email is so powerful. If you're a food and drink brand, you're not doing it. You're not data collecting. And even worse, you've got ads on. You are seriously missing out. So you need to do it. Which then dovetails into...
She's mentioned ads.
Ads.
Let's talk about them.
Yeah.
That topic that used to blow my mind.
Yeah. And I remember, Laura, like when you first started with us, I was like, do you want to log into Ads Manager?
No.
You weren't interested. But you do social. So, you know.
It does link. It's and I've always known it. And I've always, every time any company I've worked for have said, do you want to look at ads? I'm like, no.
Yeah. I feel like I'm like slowly getting more understanding of it. Like, obviously, I do the creative side of it.
Yeah.
But now I'm more like understanding of what things need to look like and so, how they need to
and
be.
And obviously, Lucy heads up like our social ad strategy, if you like, with clients. And she is so good at it because she understands that when you're a small to medium sized business, budgets are tight.
Mm-hmm.
Budgets are really tight. And to spend money, we need to quantify it. So again, that's something that we live by, right? It's we're not going to spend your money unless we can prove that it's working. And that's really important because if somebody said to me, Kate, I'm going to spend 300 quid of your money, I'd be like, on what?
Yeah.
Where's it going? What can I prove for it? So that's how, you know, we work with our clients because we think of them as our team, our brands, and we try and become that extension of it. So I guess with Meta ads, it's difficult because it's so competitive. Like, if you're a popcorn brand, there's another five other popcorn brands that are running ads, doing email, doing this and doing that. And what we're seeing in food and drink marketing at the moment is the way to get ahead with ads is thinking about your funnel. And I'm going to keep going back to the funnel. It's not just switching ads on and just being like, here's our product, shop now. It's thinking about where are your customers, at what stage are they in their journey? And how can really sick creatives that Phoebe creates capture their attention in their feed? And we use things like Facebook Ads Library, and I love it. I feel
We always go to it. When I taught Phoebe about it, I was like, have a look at this and see what they're doing. She was like,
it's like Inspector Clouseau with a glass on, and it's
honestly,
like,
it's just legal that you're allowed to see it all. So I was like, it's naughty when you go and look at
So what is it?
So it's basically, you can go and see everyone's ads that are live and you can also see the ones that aren't live.
You can set it.
So you can type in, say I wanted to look for, I don't know, throw in random idea out there, a fizzy drink brand, and I typed in fizzy orange juice.
Yeah.
I could see the ads and I can even type in an actual brand name.
It's a really good way to look up
Fanta, for
market.
Example.
Yeah.
And see what the big guys are doing and you can kind of judge what's working. Oh, how are they getting on with that? And you can see that. And it's
I also
brilliant.
Think ads are also tricky because in the likes of big companies and things, they're always running ads and you kind of think, why are they running ads? Like they don't need to. But it's the whole
constant,
top of mind.
They never let you forget who they are.
Exactly.
So the only other thing where ads become really powerful, right? So bigger businesses, really good place to start is when you've got mass budget, you can obviously think about your funnel. You can do like a discovery ad. You can do a traffic ad. You can do then a conversion ad when they get into the middle of that funnel. But then where it becomes really juicy, oh, I wish Lucy was here because she would be so lashing
like, oh
about
this,
is when you get to that retargeting stage. So you can take all of your website visitors, you can take everybody that's visited your social profile and your social followers, and you can create a retargeting audience. So you can be that creepy brand that shows up in the feed and they're
when
like...
When you spoke about something once and then you're like,
How did they know?
We know.
Yeah, so clever. But it works because that's catching people when they're further down the funnel. They're in that almost converting stage and it's like, oh my God, it's like ding, 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 ding. Hello.
I have a very like weirdly specific example of that.
Go on.
I was working in a cafe. A customer had asked for Flora butter. So I was like, yeah, okay. No, we don't have Flora. The next day, because my phone was on the side, the next day I had an Instagram ad for Flora. And I was like, why would I have ever searched that? Like, it's always
there. One quick question that I have with ads, because I will go against the grain and say, I don't purchase from ads.
Oh, go. What's the question?
Do you think there's an age catchment of who purchases from ads?
Because I'm very much like, skip as much as possible or don't. I feel like now I notice it more in the sense of I notice it because I'm looking from a creative perspective for like potential for our clients and what we can offer and what stands out. But I don't notice them in the way that like I'd actually acknowledge
and buy.
But I see the power of them because I'll see an ad and I'll think about it and I'll go, oh, I'm going to look at that brand. So it works for me in a different way. And I say this to clients all the time that just because you're not seeing direct sales from it doesn't mean the ads aren't working.
Yeah.
Because I am very much the one who will see an ad and be like, I don't need to buy that right now. If I'm scrolling Instagram and I see an
ironic,
ad.
I just see a lot of our clients' ads.
Love that.
Yeah.
Do not click them. You're spending their money.
Unless I am purchasing cheese.
Yeah.
But they work for me in the way that it's brand awareness again. So it's still that brand awareness tool that I'll think about it and be like, oh, I do need to buy X, Y, and Z. And I'll go back and be like, oh, that brand is first in my brain.
Yeah.
Do you think there's an age which work more for ads?
Like, would you buy from an ad?
Not saying that we're massively age different. No. It was a real wall.
Sorry, I am in my 30s. Thank you.
I'm still not.
Just clarify that. Crikey.
Yeah, I wasn't saying, do you buy
from an ad? No, but I mean, me as a Gen Z through
and
through.
I'm just in the middle here.
So I think it's all about the product you're selling, where your audience hang out, and how they purchase. So we see all the time, right? We turn on Meta ads, mm-hmm. Facebook, Instagram ads, and we turn on Google ads, and we can always, 9 times out of 10, say that the return on ad spend on Google is far higher than on Meta. Now, that is because they are seeing ads on Meta. Ready. And like Laura, she might see it, the brand goes top of mind, then she Googles them, she goes into Google and purchases via a Google ad, and Google gets all the cream and they go, yes, I get that sale.
I won.
Yeah, I win, right? So they work really well hand in hand.
100%. And I can see that because that definitely is me. I see it.
Everyone is on
and then
socials,
I purchase.
Yeah. I think it's that. I mean, that question, Laura, is so loose. It's
sorry.
Like, is Google
sorry,
dead?
Well,
it's like, is Google dead? You might as well have just said that.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I think it depends on your audience, number one. I think it depends where they hang out. And I think it's thinking about how they discover, become aware, consider, and convert for a product. Me personally, I love Instagram, right? I'm an Instagrammer through and through. Can't stand TikTok. It's too noisy. Like, when I finish the day and I've had computers, conversations, about 1,000, no
whereas
offense.
For me, it's like my turn off.
That is my time off where I'm just scrolling mindlessly.
I can't stand the noise.
About dragons.
It. Oh, random TikToks about pointless crap that me and Phoebe send each other.
And I sit in a dark room, right?
So if I ever sent Kate a TikTok, I think she'd look at me like, have you
like,
got the wrong number?
Just leave me alone.
Have you got the wrong number?
Yeah. So I think going back to your question, I buy with, I don't buy via ads in Instagram. I buy via story ads.
That's so good point, actually.
So I don't buy via in-feed ads.
Yeah. But those ones
because I scroll past, but when they're in stories, I'm like, someone's talking.
I found recently that I'm not a scroller on Instagram anymore. So like the stories,
Gen Z,
I'm always
made a statement.
Like I look through like the first few stories, and then you know just get sidetracked.
I'm a scroller,
but I just don't scroll anymore. So I think that's why I just don't see much.
Yeah, because again, think about the platforms, right? So TikTok moves so quick. It's, you know, it's music, it's loud.
Yeah, that's where I do my scrolling.
We could throw a spanner in the works and say TikTok ads, but I think let's save that for another day.
I mean, I think that's a whole
different ball of the world.
TikTok ads, I feel like...
I don't think they work.
No.
Not for today. Let's bring that up another day. But yeah, I think, you know, think about your audience, the bottom line of that. Think about your audience, where they hang out, how they purchase. And use the data to tell you that. Like, look at your
there
Instagram.
It is again.
What's the data saying?
Data never
use
lies.
Use tools. It never lies. The data never lies. And that's really important. Like, don't just go with, I feel this.
Yeah,
go with.
Never feel it.
No, go know with what it. You know and own it as well.
Very true.
But yeah. Answer your question?
I think that did, to be fair. I think I threw you a trick question. I'm not going to lie.
Did. Nearly finished.
To catch you out there.
Okay, so we've already, I feel like we've just done a little strategy deep dive this morning and I'm exhausted from it.
Why is this what all of our conversations are like?
I feel like I've just done a 2-hour workshop.
I feel like we could just be here for
all
hours.
The time.
Less now.
Oh my God. But look, we have got so much lined up and I'm not sure I've even shared everything with you guys, but we've got founder conversations.
Yeah, should I be scared?
Yeah, you probably should be a little bit. But look, it's all really exciting because I think what we want to do with this podcast is be real, be raw.
I think we've shown that, if anything, in the first episode.
I feel like it's interesting, though. Like, I feel like there's only so much you can get across on Instagram. There's only so much you can get across on social
Let's
media.
Let's face it, though, social, we can't talk enough, and I love talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that 30 seconds.
Me and Laura,
30
like,
seconds to a minute.
Yeah. Like, oh, there's not long enough to talk. So we're going to do like founder conversations. We're going to deep dive into stuff, whether that's TikTok, whether that's ads, whether that's email, whatever that is. And I think it's really important that we do what we do with our clients, right? I think we should open it up and say, What do people want to hear?
Do you want to hear?
Like, what should we talk about?
Please look directly down the camera and tell them.
I mean, there's like five cameras, so I don't know which one to look at. So I'm just going to look at you. Like, what does our audience want to hear? Because that's why we're here. We're here 100%. To add value, to help you, to teach you, use our tips, use our knowledge. So I want to know, like, what do people want to hear from us?
What do they want to hear next?
You know?
And it's always interesting because then you know where people's struggles are.
Minds are at and struggles 100%. And, you know, where at this time of year they're at as well, because we have seasonalities in the food and drink industry, massive seasonalities.
Don't want to talk about Q4. I'm still not over it.
Oh, I love quarter four. It's when I love my job.
Phoebe has a meltdown in Q4 because Christmas creatives are overwhelming. When you ask her to put a Santa hat on a brand logo, she wants to cry. My favourite thing to do.
And I'm in the corner starting work, jumping up and down like, yeah, it's quarter four.
I'm just in the middle. I'm just here.
Laura's
You're
there
just telling
bring,
me to do stuff.
Bring me down I'm and like, bring Phoebe up.
I'm like, we need to take some of your elf energy and get your Grinch energy. Yeah. Anyway, it's summer. It's spring summer. Let's not talk about Christmas yet.
Love that.
I can breathe for a little bit.
The last thing to say then is, you know, this is new for us. We want people to follow our journey, subscribe, leave us a review. Like, let's get this going because I think it's going to be
big.
Epic.
Epic.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Mega is such a KW marketing word.
Mega.
And that is all you.
And that is actually all my husband. That's
we
not
have
actually
him to blame.
Me. I know.
Queen
energy. Oh, that's so cringe.
Is now the time to just lift off a mug or?
Going to certainly turn it round.
Oh, I didn't realise mine's been
just subtle queen energy.
Mine's the
We're not, I promise, it's not that cringy.
Oh, no, they are all the same.
I was going to say.
They are, but when you drink it, you see queen on the outside. That's because we are queens. So subscribe, join us on this journey. We are going to talk about so much useful stuff. Like, I promise we're not just going to have my cackle in here, Laura, like telling Phoebe she's good at TikTok and everything else. Like, it's going to be valuable. And look, it's a journey. We're here to help you. So tell us, I guess, what they want to hear from us. Yeah. And remember, like, we're here to talk about
driving
online growth, like
100%.
Impacting that bottom line, increasing revenue, how to use digital to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think that sums it up pretty well. So I would say
drop the mic.
Well, I'd first of all say subscribe and we'll see you in the next episode.